So we're about to embark on Great Lent, and the Gospel reading and the Epistle reading are really very down-to-earth and practical. And so I think my job today is simply to talk to you about them and what they say. It's interesting here to see in both of the Gospel reading and the Epistle reading, there seems to be a bit of an assumption. There seems to be an assumption that you're familiar with the verses that go just before the pericope that we just heard, the reading that we just heard. The Gospel reading begins, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And what comes immediately before that? The Lord's Prayer. And this, I think, establishes really what we're about to embark on, the kind of the whole context for what we're about to embark on, which is to say, the Lord's Prayer is something that we say every single day, morning and evening, in our daily rule of prayer, probably more than that. I mean, one of the most ancient texts that we have outside of the scriptures, the Didache, it says that the Christians are characterized by praying the Lord's Prayer morning, noon, and night. And so this is our prayer. This is one that God himself, in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, gave us to pray. And we should be praying it all the time. It's even in the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And of course, central to that is, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And Jesus is following up on his teaching with his disciples here by saying, okay, well, calling their attention to that line in the prayer. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So this is something that we are supposed to be doing all the time. If we want to receive the forgiveness of God, what do we have to do? Very simple. Forgive the people around us. Forgive anybody who we have anything against so that we can receive the forgiveness of God. And then he goes on, moreover, when you fast, note there, doesn't say if you fast, when you fast. And again, this is something that as Orthodox Christians, we just do all the time, right? Every Wednesday, every Friday, we fast. Every Sunday, before liturgy, in preparation for liturgy, we fast. This is just something that we always do. We fast. But how are we supposed to fast? Well, when you fast, he says, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I tell you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So the temptation when we fast is basically to let everybody know about it for two reasons. One, you know, if we live in a society where that's seen as something that is good, we don't. So we don't really have this particular temptation, thankfully. But if we live in a society where that's seen to be good, then if everybody sees this person going around with their hair uncombed and their face unwashed, and they're like, oh, that person's fasting, they must be really holy. So don't do that. As I say, we're probably not super tempted to do that. But the other one is actually maybe a little subtler. We want people to understand why we're tired and maybe a little bit grumpy and hungry, and we kind of do like to get a bit of sympathy, right? And so, you know, you might be tempted to go up to somebody and say, well, you know, I'm I'm sorry, I'm kind of a little bit, off today. It's because I'm fasting. It's like, don't do that either. I mean, if you have to say to somebody that you're fasting, that's fine. No problem. Just be aware you've lost your reward in heaven for that. But the whole point of fasting is to develop the interior life, to develop our spirits, to embrace the discipline that has been set before us, and to give this up so that we can focus more on God. And that's the reward. And again, it's not something that's unusual for us. We do this all the time. We're just doing a little more of it in the days to come. The other thing that he says in this context is, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And again, this ties into what we're about to do. We're about to prioritize in terms of time, in terms of energy, in terms of effort, the spiritual journey that we're on. Now, we don't do this all the time, because when you need, anybody who's exercises knows you need to push yourself, and then you need to back off a little bit. Give yourself some time to heal. And so we're at this point, this is our spiritual exercise. We're pushing ourselves, and we will get to back off. Pascha is coming too. But it's something that we are doing in order to invest in our spirit, in the heavenly places, in, well, to basically to take our attention off of all the things that we're presented with right here and right now. You need this. This is really important. This is really life-changing. This news story is going to be the most significant one in the next. No, we're taking our attention off of that and putting it onto that which is eternal, and thereby storing up for ourselves, God willing, treasures in heaven, spiritual treasures, things that will help our spirit. The epistle reading likewise assumes knowledge of what goes before. Because, and we see this right in the very first verse of the epistle reading. And do this, Paul says, knowing the time. Do what? Do this obviously refers to something that is prior to this. Well, what is it? Romans chapter 13, a little further up, he says, owe no one anything except the continual debt of love towards one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, there's a few others, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, now exactly what we know what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love. That's simply what we're called to do all the time. There's never a time when we're not supposed to be loving God and loving our neighbor. So I guess one of the things I want to, and I think the church wants to drive home to us, is that this season that's coming up, yes, on some level it's exceptional. But really, it's just doing a bit more of what we're always called to be doing. We are called to love. And so what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to love. And what's the context for this? Well, Paul's about to tell us, do this knowing the time. that it is that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So, if you know that a deadline is coming, and we all face deadlines in all of our, whether we're students or teachers, thinking about report cards coming up very soon, at work or whatever, there's always a deadline. When you know that there is a deadline coming, what do? You renew your efforts. You try and work hard to make sure that you can meet the deadline. You know what's coming. And this is the ultimate deadline that is coming. We know that the time, it's high time to wake out of sleep, for our salvation is now nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. This is something good. This is like an amazing deadline. Our salvation is coming. It's nearer now than when we first believed. But that does also mean that the night is far spent, the day is coming. We have to get ready for that dawning day, which is the day of judgment, which we just heard about last week. We have to be ready. And so we should take this seriously. We should walk properly, as in the day, as if all of our deeds were visible at all times to all people. In this case, most importantly, to God. I love how St. Justin the Martyr and philosopher puts it in his first apology, when he says that he's trying to sell Christianity kind of to the emperor and saying, hey, you don't even need a police force. Because with the police force, you can trust that people will do what they're supposed to do when the police are around. But for us as Christians, we know that God sees us at all times. And so you don't need any police force to police us. We're your best citizens. Please stop killing us. So let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. This is something that we're supposed to be, well, in this case, not doing all the time. But he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. This is, again, what we're called to do all the time. We are Christians. We are called to put on Jesus Christ. We are called to live as Christ lived, at all times, making no provision for the flesh. And, fasting is good practice at doing that. I really want that hamburger, but I'm not going to eat it. Very simple. And, on some level, it's kind of the most basic level, but that's okay. We're in training. You got to start somewhere. So start with the hamburger or start with not the hamburger, and then we'll move on to the harder things from there. And then the last bit, Paul, I will give the last word to Paul here. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. Let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Well, I love this, because basically at this point in the church year, we are recognizing before everybody that we're weak, because we're eating only vegetables. But the other element here, which is super important, it's really probably one of the most important things, and is that as soon as we embark on any kind of difficult thing with anybody else, there's something in us, I think especially in some of us guys, you know, that just turns it into a competition. You know, I'm wanting to do more, better. And, you know, there's maybe something good about that, I don't know. But the downside of that is we tend to look down on those who aren't taking this seriously according to our standard. Right? Oh, well, if they were really serious about this, they wouldn't have eaten that. They wouldn't have done that. They would embrace the discipline more. They would take on more. And Paul is really clear here. Who are you to judge somebody else's servant? Moreover, this is not just anybody else's servant that you are judging. This is God's servant. And to his own master, he stands or falls. And he will stand, for God is able to make him stand. And that really is, I think, an encouraging note to end off on. Because we're embarking on the most difficult, challenging fast. That's why we call it the Great Fast of the whole church year. It is going to be hard. It is going to be difficult. We will be tempted more. We will struggle more, at least if we take this seriously. You know, if you don't take it seriously, it's probably not going to be much different. But if we take it seriously, it is hard. And one of the things I find about Lent is that I usually fail during Lent. I usually don't manage to keep the fast. There's that point where it's just like, oh, I need that. You know, and the rationale machine kicks in and it's like, oh yes, well, there's this reason and this reason and this reason and this reason. And they all kind of sort of apply to why I should like break the fast in this situation. And this is not to say, you know, don't worry about the rule of hospitality. If somebody gives you something, then eat it, eat what is set before you without asking any questions, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and enjoy it. But there are times when we are, maybe we're not tempted in terms of breaking the fast. Maybe that's something that's easy for us. Maybe it's more like, well, you know, I had this commitment that I was going to undertake to read more of the scriptures. And I have this now great plan to read through the whole Bible during Lent or something like that. And you get partway through and all of a sudden it breaks down. And the temptation there is to start to kick ourselves. Oh, I'm no good. I can't even do this. It's like, and again, in this case, you might apply the same thing to yourself. Who are you to judge another man's servant? Whose servant are you? You're God's servant. To his own master, he will stand or fall, and he will stand, for God is able to make him stand. God is with us. And if God be with us, who can be against us? Glory to him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now and ever and into ages and ages.